Many of the relationships that we have discussed throughout our time studying through this lens have been picking up on one conversation here, one interaction here, one small glimpse, one midrash that gives us insight into a certain relationship. However, in this week's parsha, Balak, we are given a tremendous amount of insight into one of the relationships in that almost the entire parsha is one long dialogue between two characters, and that is Balak and Bilam. Balak is the king of Moab, and Bilam is a prophet in the non-Jewish world. And most of the parsha, when it is not Bilam trying to prophesize on his own, it is a conversation between Balak and Bilam. And therefore, we have a tremendous amount of insight into what this relationship may have looked like. So today I want to look at that relationship of Balak and Bilam. Because if we look at this on a broader level, we are trying to understand not only what was the relationship between Balak and Bilam, but why do we care, right? We don't know about many of the kings of other nations, and that's fine with us. Their nations are not around anymore. If they didn't have what to do with Am Yisrael, and we're going to see at the end of this parsha, before we enter into the episode of Baal Peor, of the sin at Baal Peor, not much changes for Am Yisrael from the interaction between Balak and Bilam. Why then? The Torah is not a history book. Why were we given this story of Balak and Bilam? What are we meant to learn from it? Because it seems at face value to be relatively unnecessary. We don't need to know it. It doesn't seem to really add to our understanding of anything else we learn in Tanakh. If you say that Bilam may have given the advice to seduce the men of Israel and that's how they would finally succeed against them, and that's what led to the chait of Baal Peor, then perhaps it's more connected. But other than that, there doesn't seem to be a clear connection between the episode that happens in this entire parsha. And we know that when there is even one additional word, it seems, in the Torah, we stop at no end to understand why it is there. Kal vachomer, when there seems to be an extraneous parsha in the Torah. So I want to begin by very closely analyzing the dialogue between Balak and Bilam. So first, let's understand who are our characters. Bilam is a Navi. He is a prophet who is given to the nations of the world. And famously, why are the nations of the world given a prophet? The Mefarshim tell us so that the nations of the world don't turn around and say to Hashem, of course we would have followed you. If we had Moshe Rabbeinu and a clear, direct line from Hashem, you don't think we would have listened? Of course we would have listened. So in order that the nations of the world should not have that sort of bargaining chip in their conversation with God as to why they did not follow in God's ways, they are given a prophet as well. There are many different midrashim about where Bilam came from, who exactly he was. But for our purpose, and what is clear in the text, is that he is a prophet, and he is a prophet in the non-Jewish world, in the countries surrounding Eretz Yisrael. And now we are introduced first to the namesake of our parsha, to Balak. So it says in Bamidbar Perchav Bet Pasuk Bet, Vayar Balak ben Sipor et kol asher asa Yisrael la'emori. The nations of the world were all standing around and looking with interest at what this new nation, this people of Israel, was doing to their surrounding nations. So this guy, who it doesn't say yet who he is, Balak ben Sipor, noticed everything that Bnei Israel had done to the Amori. Remember in the end of last week's parsha, we had the battle with Sihon and Og, Og Melech HaBashan, Sihon Melech HaAmori. So this man, Balak ben Sipor, noticed what Am Yisrael had done to the Amori. Vayagor Moav mipnei ha'am. The nation of Moab was alarmed because of this nation. Ki Ravhu, because there were so many of them. Vayakutz Moav mipnei bnei Yisrael. They were disgusted from Am Yisrael. They saw them, and this sounds familiar to way back, beginning of Parashat Shemot, when Paro says there are so many of them, they're everywhere, what are we going to do? We have to take care of this nation. Vayomer Moav el Zikni Midyan. So the people of Moab said to the Zikinim of Midian, Ata yilachichu ha-ka'al et kol svivotinu, kilichloch hashor et yerak ha-sadeh. So he says, now this large group that has come, they will get rid of all of us just like an ox clears a field. Ubalak ben Sipor melech lemoav be'itahu. Oh, and now we get insight. Who is this Balak ben Sipor? Why do we particularly care what he thinks about Israel? Because Balak ben Sipor is the king of Moab at this time. Now, this seems to be a strange formulation. If it's going to tell us, two psukim later, that Balak ben Sipor is the Melech Moab, why are we not introduced to him in the very first pasuk? Vayar Balak ben Sipor, Melech Moab, et kol asher asah li'Yisrael ha'amori. Why are we not introduced to that there? And the Ramban gives us insight, which supports many of the other Mefarshim who believe in the same way as well. The Ramban says, V'ta'am ve'et malchei Midyan, asher hayu malachim tchila, kimo shamar nisiyei Midyan, nisichei Sichon, v'chin ne'amar, rosh umopirav u'midyan, hulo melech o yihye ta'am malchei Midyan, shechazru l'malchutam ve'itahi. There were kings for these nations at this time. There was a king of Midyan, there was a king of Sichon. Each of these nations had a king. The loyadati tam lemasha amarakatov ubalak ben Sipor melech lemoav beitahi. Why do we then have this strange formulation? Of course, every nation had a king. Why are we not just told ubalak ben Sipor melech moav when we were first introduced to him? Why do we have this? Why do we specifically have this pasuk ubalak ben Sipor melech lemoav beitahi ki ra'oihu? Because it is worthy shiumar tchila. They should have said it originally. Vayar Balak ben Sipor melech Moav et kol asher asah Yisrael ha'amori. Ve'ulai, and the Ramban suggests, haya Balak gibor chayil noda me'od. Who was this Balak ben Sipor? He was a renowned fighter. He was a strong gibor chayil, and he was famous for that. V'ma'aseh takvu gvurato v'hizkira katuv, ki af al pisha haya lemoav be'itahi melech, Takif va'amit libo ba'giborim. That what had happened was, there were other kings of Moab at this time. There had been another king. But when they saw what Am Yisrael was doing, that Am Yisrael had come and they had settled and how great they were and their strength, they recognized that they were going to need to do something about this nation. Therefore, they chose the famous fighter, the famous warrior, Balak ben Sipor. They said, Balak, we know we have a king. We need an emergency order. We need another king. We need another king who is going to be sort of our military king. Someone who is a renowned military man. And that is Balak ben Sipor. So the reason for this strange formulation is that two psukim before, Balak was not the king. Only two psukim later, once they noticed this problem with Am Yisrael and they knew they were going to have to do something about it, that is when he became king. So in Pasuk Bet, he was just Balak ben Sipor. In Pasuk Zalid, however, he is Balak ben Sipor, who is now Melech Moav Be'itahi. So it was a special appointment, and that's the reason for this strange formulation. The Or HaChaim, also in a comment on the end of our story, we're at the very end of our parsha, prior to the episode with Baal Peor, it says that Balak went his way and Bilam went his way. So the Or HaChaim explains there, supporting this idea of the Ramban. Or Ashar Shabalak Gamhu Lo Amar Od B'malchuto Sham Lefi She'adu Moav Midivrei Bilam. What happens when it says that Balak went on his way and Bilam went on his way? That not only did Bilam go back to his home, but Balak left from the kingship. Why is that? Because the people of Moab heard what happened with Bilam, which we all, spoiler alert, Bilam is called in to curse the nation, and he is unsuccessful in doing so. Hashem does not allow him to curse. Rather, he gives B'nai Yisrael some beautiful brachot that we still use in our liturgy until today. Most famously, Matuvu Ohalacha Yaakov. Famous brachot that Bilam ends up giving to Am Yisrael. So this is definitely not a successful mission for Balak ben Zippor. So when the people of Moab heard what happened with Bilam, they canceled Balak's appointment. That he said, Midrei Bilam, ki im B'nai Yisrael lo yariu v'lo yashchitu lahem. So this supports the idea of the Ramban, that Balak was not just the regular king of Moab, rather this had been a very timely, unique appointment of a king, that they needed a Gibor Chayil in that moment. They thought that person was Balak. Balak was unsuccessful in taking down Am Yisrael, and therefore, b'hibatel hasiba, when the reason disappeared, yibatel hamisoviv. The surrounding, the everything that comes with that reason disappears as well. They halted his appointment. He was no longer the king. He goes back on his way back to Midian. He goes back to Midian. There he is found during the war with Midian, and he is killed during that war. Last we hear of Balak ben Zippor. He had his moment to shine. He had the opportunity to take down Am Yisrael. When that opportunity was not substantiated, he went on his way. So from the very beginning, we see that the purpose of Balak's appointment was most likely for the purpose of taking down Am Yisrael. So we know that he most likely will not be a friend of Am Yisrael, right? That is his job, to destroy them, to take them down, to protect the nation of Moab from this nation of Am Yisrael that seems to be wreaking havoc on the surrounding neighbors. So now we are going to jump into their conversation. What does Balak ben Zippor have to do with Bilam? And how does their relationship play out? So for this, we're going to closely analyze this text. For anyone who has the source sheet, it's in the chat or it was sent out in the email before. I highlighted some key phrases just to draw your attention to the places where we're going to compare. Let me actually just send it in the chat one more time. Okay, I just sent it one more time in the chat. So for anyone who wants to look along. So now we're in Bamidbar Parakhov Bet, Pasuk Hay through Vav. Vayishlach Melachim El Bilam. El Bilam ben Ba'or. So Balak ben Zippor is now the king, and he decides he is going to call upon the Navi, Bilam ben Ba'or. So he sends Melachim. He sends emissaries. He sends servants who are going to go on his behalf, messengers. We are going to see that most of the beginning of this dialogue happens through messengers. And this is just something I'm throwing out there. I don't have an answer. But the conversation that it called to mind is the conversation between Mordechai and Esther. That when Mordechai needs to convey information to Esther when she is in the palace, and it finally concludes with the famous statement of Ha'im la'is kazot higata l'malcha, that famous conversation where Mordechai is saying you need to do something on behalf of Am Yisrael, you need to save Am Yisrael, that conversation very noticeably happens through Melachim, through messengers. They go from Mordechai, they go to Esther. They go from Esther, they go to Mordechai. Each time the messengers go back and forth, it makes sure to note that they are communicating through messengers. Here as well, it's constant. Vayishlach Melachim el Bilam. Hamelachim chazar lebalak. They go back and forth, constantly through messengers and constantly pointing that out. I don't have an answer. It's just interesting to note that the one time that it happens here in Parshas Balak, that it is very noticeably through messengers, is for the purpose of destroying Am Yisrael. And when it happens much, much later on in Megillat Esther, it is for the purpose of saving Am Yisrael. Again, no answer, just a thought I was having. But I think it could be interesting to compare the two at a later date. So, Vayishlach Melachim el Bilam ben Ba'or, Petura Asher al Hanahar, Eretz B'nei Amo, Likrolo Limor. So, Balak sends messengers to Bilam ben Ba'or, Likrolo Limor, to call him, saying, Hinei Am Yatsa Mitzrayim. Hine kisa et in haaretz v'hu yoshev mimuli. There's this nation of Israel. They came out of Egypt. There are a ton of them. They are covering the face of the earth. V'hu yoshev mimuli. They decided to take up camp right opposite my nation. V'ata lechana arali et ha'am hazeh. I need you to come and I need you to curse them for me. Ki atzumhu, because there are so many of them. Ulayuchal ki atzumhu mimeni, they are so much stronger than me. Ulayuchal nakebo ve'egarshenu min ha'aretz. Possibly they will try to rebel up against me and they will kick me out of my land. Ki yadati et asher tevarech mevorach v'asher ta'ur you are. You should know that, because it is well known that anyone who you bless is blessed, and anyone who you curse is cursed. Also interesting to note, there are definitely rings of familiarity back to the beginning of the story in Mitzrayim, when it seems to be that Paro has this almost irrational fear that this new young nation of Am Yisrael is atzum v'rav mimeni, that they are greater than me, that if they are going to get up and they are going to rebel against me, they are going to be successful. They are going to be able to leave my land. They can chase me out of my land. Their language seems very familiar, which can give us this idea that we are meant to recognize that patterns like this happen throughout Jewish history. That whether it was Egypt, whether it was now with Moab, or whether unfortunately it is until today, there are irrational fears about the nation of Am Yisrael, that they are stronger than me, that they are greater than me. If you look at these claims today that Israel is the oppressor, and you only look at the map of the Middle East, that it's somehow Israel, who you can't even see on the map, is oppressing the 20-something Arab nations that surround it. It seems outlandish that anybody could even make this claim, but we see that it traces back to Mitzrayim, it traces back to Balak, these claims that the Jewish people are going to take over and we need to fight against them, we need to destroy them. So Balak seems somewhat desperate. He calls upon Bilam and he says, it is well known that whoever you curse is cursed and whoever you bless is blessed. Bilam is starting out here and very much showing his intentions. Bilam does not see a God in the situation, which is going to end up being very much a point of contention. Balak believes that Bilam very much has the power to bless and curse. So in Pasuk Chet, Bilam gives his response. Vayomer alayhem, so he says to these malachim, Linu po halayla, sleep here tonight. Vahashivoti etchem davar kasher yidaber Hashem ilai. So these messengers, they come to Bilam and they tell him the message of Balak. And he says, rest here for the night. I am going to communicate with God. I'm going to see what God has to say. And then I will return to you and tell you what God has said to me. So the messengers stay there for the night. So Hashem comes to Bilam and he says, who are these people who are with you? Vayomer Bilam, Elah Halukim, Balak ben Sipor, Melech Moav, Shalach Eli. He says, these are messengers of Balak ben Sipor. This is what he said. He tells Hashem everything they said. Hinei ha'an hayotzi mimitzrayim ve'chaser in ha'aretz, ata lecha kavali oto, ulai uchal lihilachim bo v'gerashtiv. So Bilam shares his understanding of, or his interpretation of what it was that Bilam said to him, that Balak said to him. Bilam knows that it is completely ridiculous. He knows that he does not possess the power to truly bless and curse, that power only stands in the hands of God. And therefore, when he is repeating the message of the messengers, he most definitely is not going to say, he told me it's well known that whoever I bless is blessed and whoever I curse is cursed. He's going to conveniently leave that out, because saying to God, you know that power that only you have? Apparently I'm famous for it. Definitely not going to say that to God. So he said, they said to me, Lecha kavali oto, please go curse them for me. Ulai uchalihi lachim bo begrashtiv. Possibly if you curse them, then I'll be able to fight against them and chase them out. Vayomer Elokim el Bilam, lo tilich limahem. Hashem says to Bilam, do not go with them. Lo ta'ora ta'am, ki baruchu, do not curse this nation because they are blessed. Go back to your city. go back to your country. Hashem has not granted me permission to go with you. End of story. If Hashem did not allow me permission to go with you, I cannot go with you. It's very important to note the distinction there. Balak was very much focused on the speech. He was very much focused on Bilam's power of communication. And Balak does not answer him about whether or not he would have been able to carry out that mission. Rather, he says, God did not allow me to go with you. He doesn't say, I don't have the power to do the mission that you asked of me, because that would ruin his credentials. If it's the word on the street that anyone he curses is cursed and anyone he blesses is blessed, he is most definitely not going to ruin that image. So instead, what he is going to say is, I'm not telling you anything about my power of speech. Rather, I am only going to tell you that I'm not allowed to go with you. So you could go back to your nation. I'm not able to go with you. So the Malachim go back to Balak. Bilam refused to come with us. Balak continues. He says, oh, it must be a matter of kavod. I'm going to send her even more respected messengers, more honorable messengers. Balak sends back more messengers and says, do not resist in coming with me. He says, I will honor you, I will give you presents, I will give you whatever you need. He is now using Bilam's own words against him, that Bilam in his conversation with God had switched around the words and he had gone from Arur and Baruch, he had switched to Lecha Kavali Oto, go curse them for me. And now Balak is turning that back around at him and using the exact same language. We see that Balak here is trying to use Bilam's own words against him, and even more so, he is taking God out of the situation. He says, you used my words, repeated them to God, and God did not allow you to go? Well, I'm allowing you to go. I'm asking you to go. And Balak does not see God as someone important in this situation. He doesn't think that God has any power over Bilam, that Bilam himself has the power to bless and curse. And he also does not think that Hashem truly has the power to control the actions of Bilam, as he is asking him directly to do something that God has not allowed him to do. So now we are in Pasuk Yirchet, Vaya'an Bilam. So Bilam answers, Vayomer Elav De Balak. He answers the servants of Balak. Im Yitin Li Balak, Malobi To Kesef Dezaav. If Balak gives me his entire storehouses filled with gold and silver, Lo Uchal La'avor Api Hashem. I am not able to violate the words of Hashem. Hashem Elokai La'asok Tana Ogdula. I cannot do anything, small or big, that is against the words of God. Ve'ata, Shivuna Bazeh, Gamatem Halayla, Ve'edam La'yusif Hashem Tiberi Mi. But he says, you can stay the night, I'll go back to God, I'll ask God again, and see if he'll change his mind. And I think this is typically where Bilam begins to get a bad rap. What it seems like from the psukim is that Bilam really wants to go on this mission. He doesn't want to ruin his reputation by saying he's not able to do it, just God has not allowed me. And he seems to be repeatedly going back to God, even though the word of God was very clear. You may not go with these people. You may not curse this nation. You may not do anything that they are asking you to do. However, like a kid who has been told no, you may not go to that party. If they really want to go, they're going to keep asking, even if they think the answer won't change. If they didn't care to go to begin with, they would take that no as no and continue on with their life. But if they really want to go, they're going to keep coming back to it, even if they know the answer won't change, just out of the slight possibility that there may be a different answer if they ask again. So I believe this is where Bilam begins to get his bad reputation in the story, that it seems like Bilam really wants to go curse this nation, that he's willing to ask God over and over and over again, if he can go and curse Am Yisrael, which obviously we don't think too highly of people who are desperate to curse Am Yisrael. So Bilam says, let me go back. I'll ask God again. I'll let you know if anything changes. Stay here for the night. So Hashem says, you've been trying to trick Balak, and you've been trying to convince him that you may or may not hold that power of speech. You may or may not be able to carry out this mission, but you're just not allowed to go. If you were to get there, you may be able to carry it out. So Hashem says, I'm going to change my answer, but it's not going to be what you want because it is going to ruin that facade that you have put up. So he says, if the people have come to call you, you can go with them. Ve'ach et hadavar asher adaber alecha oto ta'aseh. But everything that I say to you, that is what you are going to have to repeat. So whatever I speak to you, those are the words you are going to speak. So Hashem says, I know what you're doing here. You've been trying to skirt around the issue. You've been trying to blame it on your location. That right now you are here. Balak wants you to be there. You are not allowed to go there. Therefore, you cannot do this mission. Hashem says, right now, I am going to make it quite clear. You are allowed to go with them. But this facade that you have put up, that you actually hold this power of speech, this power of being able to truly curse and bless, that power does not fall with you, and everyone is going to be aware of that, because everything I say to you, that is what you are going to say. So now we see in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayomer Malach Hashem El Bilam, Lich Im Ha'anashim Ve'efes Et Hadavar Asher Edaber Alecha Oto Tidaber. This pasuk, is following after the episode that Bilam tells the people he can go with them. He packs up, he goes with them, and along the way is the famous interaction between Bilam and his donkey. The Bilam's donkey does not want to continue. He sees a malach standing on the road holding a sword, and there's this entire back and forth. The talking donkey, definitely one of those things that you will teach children chumash. They will remember very few things on their first go around, besides for that talking donkey. But there's the episode with the talking donkey. And finally, at the end, when Bilam is waiting there, he is in conversation with this Malach Hashem that has stopped him on the road. And the Malach Hashem says, you can go with these people. But every single thing that Hashem says to you, you must say. So Bilam seems to understand, and he goes with the Sarei Balak, understanding that his mission is completely and totally in the hands of God. That everything that God says to him, that is what he is going to have to repeat to the nation. So now in Pasuk Lamed Vav, Vayishma Balak ki ba Bilam. So Balak heard that Bilam finally came. Vayatzei lekrato el ir Moav. So he goes out to the city of Moav to gather him in. Asher al gvul arnon asher b'ktei hagvul. Vayomer Balak el Bilam. So Balak says to Bilam, Halo shalach shalachti alecha lekrulecha. Lama lo halachti elai ha'umnom lo uchalk badecha. So Balak says, okay, what was it that really got through to you? I sent you so many messengers. I was willing to give you so much kavod. Was it that I didn't give you enough kavod? Why did you refuse to come? Vayomer Bilam el Balak. So Bilam answers to Balak, Hine bati elecha ata. I finally came to you. Hayachol uchal daber me'uma. Hadabar asher yasim elokim b'fi oto adaber. But I cannot say whatever it is that I want. I do not have the power to speak freely. I'm here, but I don't have that power. As much as I would have tried to pretend that I did, I do not have that power to say whatever I like. Therefore, I have to say whatever it is that Hashem is putting into my mind. So we see that there's this struggle between Balak and Bilam. That Bilam, in whatever his intentions are, whether he truly has these nefarious intentions that he wants to curse Am Yisrael, that he does not really want to listen to God, though he knows he is bound by his obligation to listen to God. Balak seems to be a completely godless individual. That Balak seems to have no concept of God's presence in his life. That he either totally does not believe in God, does not believe that God has any power, believes in different gods, and cannot wrap his head around the fact that Bilam truly understands and believes that his actions are bound by the word of God. So there seems to be this disconnect. that Balaam is saying quite clearly, I have to listen to Hashem. Whether or not it is what I want to do, I am completely bound because Hashem is the one in control. I am not able to just do what I want once Hashem has said to me that I may only say what he has commanded of me. On the other hand, we have Balak, who seems completely ignorant to the role that Hashem plays in this equation. He believes that Bilam is completely the one giving the blessings and the curses. He still cannot wrap his head around the fact that no matter how much the king of Moab tried to persuade him, he could not convince Bilam to come with him without the permission of God. There is totally this disconnect. It is as if they are talking on different planes of understanding. So now we continue on. In Parak Chaf Gimel, we are in Pasuk Yer Aleph. Vayomer Balak, this is after a few rounds of the curses, of Bilam attempting to curse the nation. But not only is cursing not working, but he has been blessing the nation of Israel. That again, he has to say whatever it is that Hashem tells him. It's not only that he is not allowed to come up with things on his own, but it is that once Hashem places the words in his mind or in his mouth, he must repeat them. So even if Bilam were to understand that what he is about to say is a blessing rather than a curse, he cannot just remain silent. Rather, he must issue that blessing to Am Yisrael. So now we are in Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and this is already at the heart of this situation. And Balak keeps having them move, try to go to different locations, see if that will change. Vayomer Balak al Bilam, Ma asitoli, what have you done to me? Ki lakuv oivai lekachticha, I brought you here to curse my enemies. Vihine birachta birich, but rather you have blessed them. Not only have you not done anything, rather you have done the complete opposite of what I have asked of you. Vayan vayomer halo et asher yasim Hashem b'fi, oto eshmor ledaber. He says, I told you, Balak, everything that Hashem puts into my mouth, I have to say. I have no control here. Whatever Hashem tells me, I must convey. Vayomer elav Balak, lecha na yiti al makum acher, asher tirenu misham, efetz k'tayehu tireh v'chulo lo tireh v'kavno li misham. So he says, let's try another location. Mishane makum, mishane mazal. Maybe a new place will allow you to finally curse and do what I asked of you. So now we are in Pasuk Chaf Hey, Vayomer Balak al Bilam, Gam Kov lo tikvenu, Gam Biracha lo tverachenu. Vayan Bilam, Vayomer al Balak, Halo di barti lachale mor, Kol asher yidaber Hashem oti ta'a'esa. It's almost comical at this point. You can picture some sort of comedy routine where every time he tries to say a curse, a blessing comes out. And Balak can't understand. Just stop doing that. Just stop speaking. And Bilam keeps trying to explain to him, I can't stop. I told you from the beginning, God is in charge. God is the one in completely in control of my speech. You called me here on a mistaken understanding. By the time I came here, you were fully aware of what the situation would be. However, it seems to be that Balak just could not understand this. He could not understand that Hashem was entirely in control of this situation. So now in Parak Chaf Dalid, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayichar af Balak el Bilam. Balak is furious at Bilam. Vayispuk et kapav vayomer Balak el Bilam, lakov oivai lekraticha, vihine barachta birich, ze shalosh pa'amim. 3 times we have tried this. We have tried to have you cursed and you have blessed. Please go back home. Amarti kabir achabedcha, vihine min acha Hashem michavur. I told you I would show you kavur. And this is the first instance that Balak mentions God in the situation. He says, vihine min acha Hashem michavur. Hashem has withheld your kavur. Hashem has prevented you from receiving this kavod. Vayomer Bilam al Balak, halugam et melachecha asher shalachta elai dibarti lemor. Bilam seems to be remaining pretty calm for the situation. And he says, didn't I tell your messengers, imitain li Balak, Milobito, Kesef Vizahav, even if Balak gives me all of the silver and gold in the world, Lo Uchal La'avor et Pi Hashem, I am not able to violate the words of Hashem. Lasot Tova Ura'a Milibi, I can't do anything better or worse than what I want to do in my heart. Asher Yedaber Hashem Oti Edaber. Whatever Hashem tells me to do, that is what I have to do. Finally, the story concludes in Paraklav Dalet, Pasaklav Hey, Vayakam Bilam, Vayilach, Vayashav Lemikomo, Vigam Balak, Halach Lidarko. They go their separate ways. Bnei Israel has not been cursed. They have only received blessing. And that is the end of the story. Nothing changed. Nothing is any different from Am Yisrael. There was no reason to believe that Am Yisrael had any idea that any of this was going on. This was completely between Balak, Bilam, and some messengers in between. And it seems to have been, like I said before, almost a comedy. That Balak wants one thing, Bilam can only do another thing. Every time they try to curse, he blesses. Balak gets progressively more and more frustrated. And Bilam keeps the same tagline. Whatever God wants, that is what I have to do. Whatever God wants, that is what I have to do. And he repeats this over and over and over again. So I want to think about a few points before we come to our conclusion. The first point that I want to point out is often we think of Bilam as this terrible villain in the situation, that obviously this man who came and wanted to curse Am Yisrael must have been a terrible person. However, what we see of Bilam is someone with such strong dedication to the Dvar Hashem that there was no moment of wavering. Once God told him he could do something, he did it. And even though it was totally ruining his reputation, it was totally going against the image that he wanted to portray in the world, and what it seems very contrary to what he personally wanted to do, he did not waver for one moment. There was a consistent refrain of whatever Hashem tells me, that is what I have to do. That for someone who we see as so evil, there are honestly so many traits we can emulate. Imagine we walked through our day thinking, Kol asher adaber elai Hashem a'aseh. Whatever it is that Hashem wants you to do, that's what I am going to do. I can't do anything more or less from what God wants me to do. So just to keep that in my mind as we're going into what is the lesson that we are meant to learn from this relationship between Balak and Bilam. So Balak and Bilam, on the basis of what is this relationship, I would say it's very much a business relationship. They entered into a business transaction together, and it didn't exactly work out as planned, and they went their separate ways. No one else's lives seem to have been affected by this. No one else seems to even have known. It's just the two of them, they enter into this transaction, it doesn't work out, and they go their separate ways. So then why do we care? Why do we need to know about this? We don't know about 99% of the things that were happening in the world at that time. And I would like to bring two approaches. The one approach, I believe, is that it is simply giving us an insight into that outside broader picture of what the image of Am Yisrael is at that time. That up until this point, the Torah has been completely ethnocentric. We have been totally focused on just Am Yisrael and their interactions outward. We have very little information about what the reaction of the other Amim was to them. Besides for when people actively attack them, we don't know what the forethought is, and we don't know what the thoughts of all the people who weren't attacking them was. We get a slight amount of insight from Yisro when Yisro comes and says what some of the other nations have been saying and thinking. But other than that, we don't get any firsthand exposure. So you can say on a basic level, why was this parsha included in the Torah? To give us a brief glimpse before we enter into this final period of concluding the Torah, recapping what happened, and then entering into our next stage, which is going to be one very much of interaction with the outside nations, which is going to be the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, communicating with them. We are going to see much more interaction than we've seen until this point. You can say this was a good transition point, that it was giving us some of the insight that we lacked until this point. And you get to see two differing approaches. There's the approach of Balak. There's the approach of someone who totally cannot relate to the thought process of Am Yisrael, that does not understand where Am Yisrael is coming from. They do not understand their belief in God, their entire belief system, how they operate. All they see is the outward actions. And then you get a slight amount of insight from the characters that are similar to Bilam, that understand the perspective of Am Yisrael. They understand where they are coming from, and yet they are still against them, but they have a greater understanding of where they are coming from. So it is kind of giving us two glimpses into an outside view of Am Yisrael, which is definitely valid and important. However, the other approach, I believe, is that at this critical juncture for Am Yisrael, where again, their lives are going to completely change, that especially this generation that is still alive right now, they have never lived during a period of time in which God was not actively involved in every aspect of their life. Their food drops from Shamayim. Their water springs forth from a miraculous rock in the middle of the desert. They are protected on all sides by miraculous Anenei HaKavod. This is a generation that sees Hashem in every moment, in every aspect of their life. And now their lives are about to completely change. They are going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, which we know is a place where there is still a strong concentration of Hashras HaShchina. Hashem is very much so ever present in Am Yisrael, but in a very different way. They are not going to have food falling miraculously from Shamayim. Rather, they are going to have to work the land. The food is going to grow, and they are going to still have to recognize that it's all from Hashem. They are going to take Trumot and Masrot. They are going to make Brachot. They are going to recognize that everything they have is still from Hashem, even though they don't see it fall miraculously from Shamayim. They are transitioning into this new period in their lives where they are going to have to be the ones to make those decisions, to take initiative, and to bring God into their life. And this interaction between Balak and Bilam is zooming out and actually zooming back in on a very different type of interaction. It's giving us insight into the internal struggle that happens within each and every one of us. Famously in TV and movies, there is the conversation between the good angel and the bad angel. You always see the two sides, the little guy whispering, "Eat that piece of chocolate cake, eat that piece of chocolate cake." And the guy saying, "You had four other pieces today. Do you really need it? Maybe you should go for a walk. Maybe you should do something a little healthier." And there's this evil angel and this pure angelic angel, the angel and the devil. And they're constantly trying to convince you of things. And while from a Jewish perspective, we don't believe there are any little men sitting on our shoulders, we do believe that every human being was created with a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer HaTov. And the Gemara in Masechet Brachot gives us a very interesting insight in its explanation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meyodecha. The Gemara explains here, Chayav Adam levarich et hara'a kishim shemavarich al hatova. The Gemara tells us that just like a person praises God over the good, God must praise God over the bad. You should serve Hashem with your whole heart. What does this mean? With your two inclinations, with your positive inclination and your negative inclination. That every person is created with this Yetzer HaTov, this desire to do good, to follow in the ways of Hashem, to listen to Hashem's words, and to apply that in all areas of our life. But Hashem also created us with our Yetzer Hara, our inclination to do bad, our inclination to not follow the words of God, to sometimes do things that are contrary to what we know is correct. Sorry, just need a tissue. And what the Gemara is telling us is that Chayav Adam to serve God b'chol levavcha, with shnei yitzrecha, with these two inclinations, with your positive inclination and your negative inclination. That even with your Yetzer Hara, you can harness that power of the Yetzer Hara that may drive you to do certain things that would be contrary to Torah and mitzvot, and use that as well to do Torah and mitzvot. Famously, it says that why did Hashem create us with the Yetzer Hara for intimate relationships? Because or else there would be no continuation of the human race. That why did Hashem create us with certain Yetzarim that are so hard to fight? Because even those can be used to do good. And when you harness that Yetzer Hara, you can use it to do even more good than you could have done without it. That without sometimes that Yetzer Hara that you have to fight against, there wouldn't be the motivation to do good. So how do we see that in the relationship between Balak and Bilam? I believe that Balak is pure Yetzer Hara. Balak is looking at the situation. He sees Am Yisrael as a challenge. He doesn't see Hashem anywhere in the situation. He doesn't see that presence of God. He doesn't think God has any relevance in his life, and most definitely not in this particular situation. All he sees is the nation of Israel. They have destroyed other nations, and now he wants to destroy them. And then he calls in Bilam. And I believe Bilam represents that balanced human being who is serving Hashem b'shnei yitzracha. That no matter how much Bilam personally may want to curse Am Yisrael, we don't see him having any moral opposition to cursing the downtrodden Jewish people. Rather, he seems like that would truly be, if he wanted to do his own thing, that would be what he would want to do. That's why he continues to ask God. He has personal motives. He doesn't want to ruin his reputation. He's built up this reputation as someone who supposedly has the power to bless and curse. Why would he want to ruin that? But on the other hand, Bilam is someone who perfectly tempers that with the Yetzer HaTov. That Bilam has an unwavering commitment to following the word of Hashem. That even when it is completely decimating his career, there is no recovering from this. The king of Moab brought him in to curse a nation, and he could do nothing. It was not in his control to do anything besides for bless them. But yet he embraces that because he recognizes, although what I may want to do is not what I'm doing in the moment, if Dvar Hashem is telling me otherwise, I am bound by what Hashem wants for me. So Bilam is perfectly balancing that Yetzer HaTov with the Yetzer Hara. He goes, but in that situation where he desperately wants to at least be able to go with the messengers, he goes with them, and in that situation, he blesses Am Yisrael. So we have Balak, who is pure Yetzer Hara, and we have Bilam, who is the perfect balance of serving Hashem b'shnei Yitzrecha. And why is this important for B'nai Yisrael at this time? Because this is the first time this is going to be applicable to them. Until this point, there's not much struggle. Hashem is so clearly manifest in their lives that it is almost ludicrous to imagine not following Dvar Hashem. Your food is miraculously falling down from Shemayim and ready for you at breakfast time, and you're going to not thank Hashem for that food? Yes, B'nai Yisrael had their stumbling blocks where they complained, but everybody complains. But in the end of the day, their commitment to God was easy. You would seem insane if you didn't recognize Hashem in your life. But now they're entering into a much more difficult period, which looks much more similar to the world of Balak and Bilam, a world in which Hashem's presence is not as manifest. You have to look a little closer. You have to be much more committed to it than they are currently. Because they are going to have to be responsible for recognizing Hashem. Balak doesn't seem crazy for not putting Hashem into the situation. He seems normal. He wants something. He knows how to get it done. He tries to get it done. What he's failing to recognize is the power of Bilam. That Bilam's saying, you can't have a world where you don't recognize God. It doesn't work because God is in control. So at this key juncture for Am Yisrael, we zoom out. We go beyond what we are familiar with in the current situation outside of Am Yisrael, because right now, the situation of Am Yisrael is not one that can teach us this lesson. We zoom outside of Am Yisrael and we learn about a conversation between totally separate individuals that doesn't seem to affect them outside of right now at this moment, but we see the impacts of the brachot of Bilam for years and generations to come, all the way until today. That in that moment, there doesn't seem to be any change when that story concludes, because they have not yet entered into this new stage. But today, when we are still in that stage of the more concealed nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we still use the blessing of Bilam today, and we read this parsha of Balak and Bilam, this conversation between the two of them, because today it is so relevant in our lives. B'nai Israel at that time had no idea what was going on, but today we do. So Mirtz Hashem, may we be able to internalize these messages from this conversation of Balak and Bilam, and not see Bilam as an evil person, but recognize how he was truly an example for us of how to serve Hashem when Hashem's presence is not as manifest as it was in the Midbar. Thank you so much for joining today. If you have any questions, feel free to unmute.